For any sized donation before December 1st, we'll send you my 2021 Advent devotional booklet. Make a secure online gift at thewordendures.org or make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you my new Advent devotional booklet.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
He was focused on what he was saying, not how he was saying it. But the how was the dead giveaway, and several of them tell him so. Come on, man. You most certainly are one of them. Listen to the way you talk. You are a Galilean.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Mark.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Well, in our last podcast, we heard the conclusion of Jesus' trial before the Jewish council. The high priest, clearly frustrated and impatient with his witnesses, asks Jesus to give answer to the charges against him. He doesn't specify which ones. And Jesus, at first, gives no help at all. He remains silent, as Isaiah 53 had foretold. But finally, the high priest put the question this whole gospel has been dancing around from the get-go. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? This elicits an answer. Jesus owns up to being exactly that and adds that they would see him sitting at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven, Daniel 7 again. I suppose there was a moment of silence as that sunk in before the place erupted. The high priest tears his garments, proclaiming blasphemy. The council condemns Jesus to death, and they began beating him and mocking him and spitting on him. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 66th verse. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. St. Mark 14, verses 66 to 72. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word, as befits it, may not be bound, but a free course, and be preached and taught to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, you're ready to ponder God's word for today. Let's get to it. Verse 66. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, verse 67, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." It's dark, but in the courtyard there's the light of the fire, and Peter, we know, had drawn close to the fire in order to warm himself against the chill of that early spring night. Yeah, the problem. The fire not only gives warmth, it gives light. And so it is that one of the servant girls of the high priest catches sight of Peter's visage and recognizes it. Can you see her glance at him, then crinkle her brow and remember where she'd seen him before, or at least who she'd seen him with? You also were with the Nazarene Jesus. Did she speak it out loud, or did she whisper it to him? Was it said in sympathy or in a gossipy way? We can't know. And I find it fascinating how Nazareth comes into play here at the end. Jesus grew up there, but he was neither born there nor was he living there during his ministry. Still, she calls Jesus the Nazarene. Apparently, that's how he was known. Verse 68. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. How fast that went out the window. He proceeds to lie. The facility with which he does it is breathtaking. How truly, though, did David confess? I said in my haste, all men are liars. Psalm 116, verse 11. Nothing moves human beings to lie faster than fear. Peter was afraid, and in his fear, the lie simply comes tripping off his tongue. Who? I don't know what you're talking about, ma'am. And then the lie is followed by the dodge. He tries to move out of the area by the fire, out by the gateway again, whence he could, if necessary, fade out into the night. And as he does so, the cock crew. Did he register it? Or was he just too terrified and nervous at the moment? Remember, inside at this moment, they're beating on Jesus. Maybe from where Peter was, he could see and hear it all well enough. Verse 69. And the servant girl saw him and began to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them. The servant girl was obviously not convinced by Peter's denial, and no one likes to be wrong, so she set about trying to convince others standing there that she was not wrong, that Peter was indeed one of the band around the Lord Jesus. This man is one of them, she insists. And the attention of several of them is now focused, most uncomfortably, upon the man who's trying to look like he's not running away. He still thinks lying will work, hence verse 70. But again he denied it, and after a little while the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He opens his mouth to deny it, and as he does, he speaks with what I guess we'll have to call a Galilean twang. He didn't sound like he was from Jerusalem. He had that, to the Jewish ear, northern hick sound. Even in our highly mobile world, it's still possible to pinpoint where someone is from when they are speaking unguardedly, that is, not thinking about how they sound. How much more so back then, when folks were not quite so mobile? I suspect a student of accents would easily have placed my mom just outside Tidewater, Virginia, by her gentle southern non-rhotic accent, what with her saying dough and stoa for door and store. And in some such way, Peter's denial undid him. He was focused on what he was saying, not how he was saying it. But the how was the dead giveaway, and several of them tell him so. Come on, man, you most certainly are one of them. Listen to the way you talk. You are a Galilean. And I guess by implication. And why would any other Galileans be hanging around here in the middle of the night, Verse 71. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Do you see where his fear landed him? To lie was bad enough, but he moves from simply lying to dragging God's holy name into it. He asks God to curse him if he's not telling them straight when he says, I don't know the man of whom you speak. Thus Peter's fear led him to a blatant breaking of the commandment not to take God's name in vain in order to back up his breaking of the commandment against false witness. It just gets worse and worse. The Large Catechism of the Lutheran Church puts it like this: God's name must not be appealed to falsely or taken upon the lips, while the heart knows well enough, or should know, that the truth of the matter is different. This is what happens with people who take oaths in court, where one side lies against the other. God's name cannot be misused worse than for the support of falsehood and deceit. And think, people loved by God, that this is Peter's own account, which Mark is writing. So Peter doesn't skate over this sad denial, which the Lord Jesus had foretold. He simply lays it out there. Yes, this is what I did that horrible night. I even denied that I knew the one who was preparing to lay down his life for me and for us all. As St. John Chrysostom ponders this, he tells his congregation in 4th century Antioch, "In this respect, we must marvel at Mark, because not only did he refuse to hide Peter's fault, but wrote the account of it in greater detail than the others, and it is for this very reason that he is called Peter's disciple." Instead of hiding that sin, St. Peter here confesses it, quite in the spirit of Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And mercy is the final word over St. Peter's life, because he lived in repentance. Pope St. Gregory the Great had a beautiful thought on this as well. And here we must ask ourselves, why did Almighty God permit the one he had placed over the whole church to be frightened by the voice of a maidservant, and even to deny Christ himself? This, we know, was a great dispensation of divine mercy, so that he who was to be the shepherd of the church might learn through his own fall to have compassion on others, to learn through his own weakness how to bear mercifully with the weakness of others. Verse 72, "And immediately the rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times,' and he broke down and wept." If the rooster's crow didn't penetrate his consciousness the first time, it sure did now. Now, in the face of asking God to damn him if he weren't speaking the truth, that rooster rouses Peter's sleepy conscience, and suddenly the full horror of what he has just done is disclosed to him. Behold what the fear of man can do. The cock's crow brings the words of Jesus rushing back to Peter's mind. He can hear the master say, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." Jesus' words do the job. They remind Peter that Jesus is always right, because unlike Peter or you or me, he always speaks the truth. And Peter, remembering it, breaks down. He begins to cry. Only St. Luke records that at this moment, Jesus turned to look at Peter as the cock crew. St. Luke 22, verse 61. That's where we're going to call a stop for today, people loved by God. Up next, we will move into the trial before Pilate, which takes place in the morning of Good Friday. The council hauls Jesus off bound and beaten and presents him to Pilate as a traitor to Caesar, a man claiming to be a king. Pilate will inquire of him whether he does indeed make this claim, and Jesus answers a tad ambiguously, "You have said so." As the charges are piling up around him, Pilate will address him again, asking him to answer the accusations, and like before the high priest, Jesus will keep silent. If the question is a who question, he gives an answer. If it's a question of their lying charges against him, he won't even dignify those with a response. Well, here too, that there was a custom of amnesty exercised at the feast. They got a freebie. The governor would release for them a single prisoner. And the people began coming up to Pilate to ask for that yearly favor. And that gave him an idea. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.